The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this rainy, dreary Friday in the Auburn Opelika area. It is May 17th, 2024. This is the Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. No Uncle T-Bone in studio today, but I have a feeling we're going to hear from him on the phone lines. He had a meeting for his full-time job today, and so was not able to join us in studio, but with the things that are happening right now, ladies and gentlemen, I've already got confirmation that he is going to let his presence known on the phone lines. And if you're new around here, it's Free For All Friday. And if you are a regular here, you understand what that means. Free For All Fridays are fun because it literally means we can talk about anything that you want to talk about. There is a ton of updates for Auburn Athletics in terms of baseball and softball. Got some recruiting things to talk about today. And also, the biggest storyline in all of sports. And around noon today, it was still the biggest news story in the country. Not just sports, but the biggest story of all. No matter what website you went to, no matter what news site you were on, this story was the major headline. The number one golfer in the world, Scottie Scheffler, was arrested this morning outside of Valhalla Country Club in Louisville, Kentucky, outside the site of the PGA Championship. He was arrested and taken into custody. I know you've seen this story, and we're going to break it all down today here on the show. And I say we because I am not alone in the studio. Joining me on this Free For All Friday, coming in to talk a little news, a little ball, my color commentator from the Lee Scott Sports Network, Christian Griffin. What's up, man? How are you? Great to have you in the studio.
Man, what a day for sports. We didn't think it was going to be the biggest day of sports. We were thinking a video game was supposed to be the biggest highlight and
tell
the biggest news
it.
Story. But yeah, I think that might take the back seat to this whole Scottie Scheffler story.
It's unbelievable, man. And look, I have followed this since 5:30 this morning. And you may ask, why? Is because I filled in for Ben Taylor on the morning show over on Auburn Opelika this morning on our sister station, News Talk WANI. And so when I was here in the studio this morning prepping and doing the morning stuff that needs to be done around here, I saw this news break. I saw it happen live. From Jeff Darlington, the ESPN NFL reporter who's helping out the worldwide leader of sports cover the PGA Championship this weekend. And he was on top of it from the start. And we're going to break it all down today, kind of walk you through the timeline, the details that we know. And the fact is, Scottie Scheffler, after walking out of a jail cell today, is having one of the best days of the PGA Championship so far. I mean, he's just lighting it up, and you really wouldn't expect anything else.
No, you wouldn't at all. People say that it's MJ's flu game of Scottie Scheffler. We were talking about it before the show started. You said that I think it's a world record for getting out of a jail cell and birdieing a hole on the golf course. Went, and I think it was maybe an hour and a half at most.
If that.
From walking out of the jail cell to the first tee box, goes and birdies one, is now 5 under. On the day, brings him to 9 under, tied for second right now, in conditions that are only getting worse there in Louisville.
Yeah, it looks pretty much like it does outside in Auburn right now. It has been constant rain, everybody wearing jackets and umbrellas, golfers and caddies walking around with umbrellas. They sit under it, they get their grip ready to go, and then they step out, swing the club, and they're right back under the umbrella. So, again, breaking all that down today, plus a whole lot more. Free for all Fridays, you know what that means. Phone lines are wide open. 2 hours all show long. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That number again, 334-321-1390. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? I know you all have thoughts on what is happening and what happened this morning with this entire Scottie Scheffler situation. So give us a call, and that's where we're starting today. Scottie Scheffler was the last person to leave Valhalla Country Club last night at after 9 o'clock Eastern time, local time there, from the driving range. He went home, ate some dinner, went to sleep, and got up this morning and was on his way to the golf course because he had an early tee time just after 8 a.m. Eastern time. He was driving to the golf course when he was stopped by a line of traffic, because what needs to be highlighted here, and I guess brought to the forefront here, yeah, is there was a fatality out in front of the golf course this morning at Louisville, Kentucky, at Valhalla. There was a pedestrian, a vendor, a worker of the tournament who was struck and killed out in front of the golf course. And that had brought tons of police officers and ambulances and all sorts of things, and traffic had been stopped. Nobody was moving on the thin road in front of the golf course. And it was to Scottie Scheffler's understanding, from what all of that we've heard, okay, this is based off of all the information that we have, it was to his understanding that golfers and caddies and people that were meant to be on the golf course were still allowed to get in despite traffic not moving. And from what we know, there were already golfers inside at this time. Scottie Scheffler didn't know that. And so he was near the front, and he was on the right side of the road and was going to be turning left into the golf course. He was trying to go around a bus when he was stopped by a man in a bright neon yellow vest who was directing traffic, who said, "Sir, you can't move, you can't go anywhere." After rolling down the window, him and Scottie had a conversation, and Scottie Scheffler didn't know who the guy was, and so he kept going. He kept going, and he turned left into the entrance of the golf course. Well, this man in the yellow vest had attached himself to the front of Scottie Scheffler's car and was drugged 10 to 20 yards, according to reports. That man in the yellow vest happened to be a Louisville Police Department officer. He was a police officer for the city. And so, out of frustration or distress, and for a citizen disregarding direct orders, he took his flashlight, was banging on the car, opened the door. Scottie Scheffler was taken out of the car, slung up against it, and thrown into handcuffs. And the number one golfer in the world, coming off a Masters victory just a few weeks ago, a brand new dad, at 5:30 local time, was thrown in the back of a cop car. It was taken to the police station. He was booked. He was charged with 5 different charges, one of them, Christian, being a felony charge. His mugshot spread across the internet. He was bailed out. He showed up, and with less than an hour to start his round, showed up and is playing a fantastic round. Your initial thoughts on this entire situation?
You brought it up by saying, I mean, what else would we expect from Scottie Scheffler on the golf course side of things? Going from before the tee time, again, how many times at events like this do you see police cars and ambulances possibly blocking off pedestrian traffic to allow people to get into the entrance? So at first, if I'm Scottie, I'm thinking the exact same thing of why would you not, you know, block it off, let everybody get in before you allow the general public to get in and crowd the possible cars or crowd the possible caddies, anybody that could possibly be there. Let them get in and do their thing. And then another thing we are talking about is everybody that was there on the site was wearing that yellow vest. So in no way did he see that it was a police officer. Even the police cars looked like white Challengers or white Dodge something. None of them said, you know, Louisville police. We're watching it on the TV right now. Again, it has like the hidden red and blue lights on the inside.
They look like, yeah, Chargers or Mustangs or something like that.
But nothing that says Louisville police. And so, again, if you just have somebody in the vest telling you something that you've been told by much higher ups in the golf tournament, in the PGA Championship, you'd think that you would follow that order. Again, just a crazy thing. Again, I like that you highlighted the fatality first, and that is what needs to be at the forefront of everything. But
yeah, it was a vendor who, again, was struck and killed. Like a life was lost this morning out front of the golf course. And Scott, and let me say this too, and there's so much to get to in this, and we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. The initial reporting on this, and I'm not one to sit and bash media.
It's terrible.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
It was bad. And again, I saw this from 5:30 this morning when it happened, and I have seen it go all the way through. And I've seen it escalate. I've seen all the details come out. And for one of the few mornings that I'm actually up that early, I'm glad I was, because this is one of the biggest stories so far of the year. And as we go, before we move farther, here's the quote from the police report. All right. Quote, Detective Gillis stopped Scheffler and attempted to give instructions. Subject refused to comply and accelerated. Well, there it went. I was trying to read it off the TV screen. We'll get to those. We've got all that pulled up. We'll get there. Somebody was killed this morning, and that should be at the front of this. But how we're going to address this is the fact that we're a sports talk show on a sports talk station. And so we are addressing the sports side of this. And the reason we said the reporting was horrific on this, because if you had just woken up and read this on your phone, like many of you did, I'm sure, Christian, you were one of them.
It was
Scotty Scheffler arrested, accident, and, you know, person killed in front of Valhalla, Scotty Scheffler in custody. And it's like, holy smokes, like, what in the world is going on? The initial reporting was, it's easy to think that, did Scotty Scheffler just kill somebody? Like, is that what happened here? And it's not. Scotty Scheffler had nothing to do with the accident. This was just a horrific event that happened to take place right by the entrance of a golf course that was hosting one of the four majors of the year, one of the biggest tournaments in the season of golf. And it just so happened that it was, not only was it a PGA Tour player, not only was it a big name in golf, Christian, this was the number one player in the world who was showing up to work and just trying to do his job. After people had already gone before him, after he had done the same routine all week long, going in and turning in and going into the golf course and doing his thing, and he found himself getting arrested and detained, taking a mugshot and having to get bailed out of jail. It really is wild to me. And the details began to come out, and there's more to get to that. But, man, this has gone viral, and rightfully so. What a wild story this was.
Yeah, going back to what you first initially talked about, was I woke up around 6:30 and saw the ESPN notification. And as you were talking about it, the way that it was worded, I genuinely thought that Scotty Scheffler was driving to the course and ran over somebody. That was the way that the report was. And I don't know if that was for clicks or what. I mean, again, I don't believe that's what it was, but just a crazy scene. Again, you're talking about how he's getting all of the higher-ups, the information, something that he's done since Monday, since flying in, doing all the practice rounds, and even round one is following all of these rules, following all of these orders, going in the entrance, and all of a sudden you're told you can't go that way by what you thought at the time was somebody in a yellow vest at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning, when I'm sure he's half awake as well.
It's raining. It's pitch black outside. Yeah, the situation was, it was a stressful situation anyway, and many people have alluded to that, especially the ones that were there around it, the number one being Jeff Darlington, the ESPN reporter, because he's the one that broke the news, and he actually videoed Scotty Scheffler being detained and being arrested. I mean, Scotty Scheffler, he was detained at first, but this was a full-on arrest. I mean, he was put in handcuffs, put in the cop car, taken to jail, and has been charged. Like, Scotty Scheffler was arrested, okay? But here's the problem. So many of these people that were outside wearing those neon yellow vests, they were not a part of the golf course. They were not a part of the golf tournament. The officer who arrested Scotty Scheffler was not working for the golf tournament. He was an officer on scene of the fatality, of the accident that had happened there. And that's where the confusion came in. And again, there are statements from the police. There's statements from Scotty Scheffler. We're going to get to all that as we go. But that's where the confusion came in. And so, should Scotty have probably listened to the guy? Yeah, probably. But given the quotes that we're going to tell you along the way, it sounds like to me he didn't know this was a police officer. And the reasons that, and look, Scotty didn't know it was a police officer because his quote says so. We'll get to that. But the police officer also did not know that it was Scotty Scheffler. And the reason we know that is because Jeff Darlington confirmed it this morning on ESPN. He said as they were walking Scotty Scheffler, two officers were walking Scotty Scheffler back to the car to put him in the back of a police car. One of them turned around and peeled off and said, "Who was that we just arrested?
Yeah. Who was this?
Who did we just arrest?" Because they didn't know. And Darlington, videoing the entire time, was trying to talk to Scotty and trying to alert people, "Hey, this seems to be a misunderstanding." Scotty turned and said, "Hey, can you help me?" And the police said, "No, doesn't matter what you do. There's nothing you can do. He is going to jail." And at 5:35 this morning, Jeff Darlington tweeted out, he said, "Breaking news, world number one golfer Scotty Scheffler has been detained by police in handcuffs after a misunderstanding with traffic flow led to his attempt to drive past a police officer into Valhalla Golf Club. The police officer attempted to attach himself to Scheffler's car, and Scheffler then stopped his vehicle at the entrance to Valhalla. The police officer then began to scream at Scheffler to get out of the car. When Scheffler exited the vehicle, the officer shoved Scheffler against the car and immediately placed him in handcuffs. He's now being detained and in the back of a police car." That was at 5:35 this morning, and the details have just continued to come out since. I mean, this is wild. It's one of the craziest mornings I've ever seen. One of the craziest stories I've ever seen in sports.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where you look at the media and how it can turn such a negative or a positive. Like, we have to thank Darlington, again, for being in the right place at the right time, the publicity that he's gotten, but to be on site and see everything that happened and report it the correct way, Scotty even mentioned that it was just a giant misunderstanding. It could have blown up really badly in the face of Scheffler if I think that Darlington had not been right behind him.
That's a really good point. I mean, think about if this guy's not there and all we know is
what the police officers said.
And yeah, that's all we would know is what Louisville Police Department said is, "Yep, he tried to run over a police officer." That's what the police said at first. They said he tried to run over one of our officers. That's why he got arrested. And if that's all we knew, bro, this would be even worse.
Yeah.
Turns out it may not be as bad as it sounded or what it could have been, but there's a lot more that we got to get to here. What do you want to hear from you, man? What are your thoughts on this entire situation? Scotty Scheffler, world number one, after going to jail this morning, is just two back in the PGA Championship in the Friday round, the second round there at Valhalla. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Back after this here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Back inside the studio here at ESPN 106.7 for the Friday edition of On the Line. I'm Jacob Goins. I'm joined by Christian Griffin, who is my color commentator on the Lee Scott Sports Network. And we're talking the biggest story in all of golf, in all of sports, in all of news right now. As you've heard of it at this point, and if you haven't, then I don't know what you've been doing. Scotty Scheffler, world number one golfer, was arrested this morning outside of the PGA Championship. He has since been released and then made it to the golf course and is currently playing his round and playing extremely well. I want to play this video for you because we've been talking about Jeff Darlington, the ESPN NFL reporter who's just a part of the coverage there this week at the PGA Championship. And he's the one that broke the news this morning. He's the reason that we know Scottie Scheffler was arrested, and while we have a little bit more light on the situation, I want you to listen to this video that Jeff Darlington took. This is literally of Scottie Scheffler being escorted by two police officers. And I'll say this, those bright yellow vests, they do say police on the back. Okay, I'm looking at it right now. It does say police on the back, but again, I'm not going to speak for Scottie Scheffler and say whether he knew it was. He claims that he didn't know.
And the word escorted that you used is a very generous word to say that he was politely escorted to the police.
Yeah. And so again, I want you to picture this. Jeff Darlington is being yelled at to get back, but he is videoing Scottie Scheffler being, yes, taken to the police cars in handcuffs. Hopefully this is going to play properly. I want you to listen to this. This is the main voice that you hear is the reporter, and the ones yelling are the police officers. So let's see if this is going to work properly.
Guys.
Dude,
Back up.
I'm back.
Get back.
Sir. You're gate one, right?
Guys,
what do we tell you?
I'm staying back.
Here's the thing.
Right now,
he's going to jail.
Okay.
Okay. He's going to jail, and it ain't nothing you can do about it. Period. There's nothing you can do about it.
Okay.
I'm media.
I'm okay. A reporter. Okay? Okay. So that's all. I just want to make sure that's
okay.
Known.
But you need to step back over
problem.
Here.
No
now.
Problem. You got it.
Okay.
So that's the video that Jeff Darlington took. Okay, that was a police officer talking to him there at the end. The main voice you heard saying, "I'm a reporter. I'm media." That is, of course, Jeff Darlington. And Christian, what's so just odd to me is as Scheffler is being taken away, looking for any sort of explanation, obviously trying to help Scottie Scheffler, the police were like, no, like nothing that you do is going to help him. We have put our foot down. We have decided he's going to jail and there's nothing you can do about it.
Even if that is the case, just to the saying of there's nothing you can do, he's going to jail, I feel like is unprofessional. Just because it's, at what point is that your responsibility to tell the media to, I mean, you're in the middle of doing what you feel like is your job, and I think it's such a inappropriate thing to feel like you have to tell somebody, and especially saying there's nothing that you can do about it. Another thing that I'm looking at right here, because no footage other than that one recording has been released. There's a bunch of people that are sitting there talking about it, saying that, you know, until body cam footage is released, how sure are we that Scottie ran over the police officer, drug him 10 or 20 yards, like, you know, all of this stuff that's reported. Nothing has been said by Darlington that he drug a police officer.
Yeah, and there's a couple of things. There is video of Scottie being put into the car, and the early report was that he was in handcuffs, put into the back of the cop car, and on ESPN, Darlington was talking about it this morning. He said the officer took the cuffs off, and so Darlington was like, okay, maybe this is kind of de-escalating. All he was doing was letting Scottie Scheffler readjust his wrists and then put the cuffs right back on him and drove him away. So those are the only videos we have. And I've seen a lot of people bring that up too, Christian, about how there has not been any body cam footage or anything like that. Now, there was a report released in the incident report from the police department. I was trying to look for the actual report, and I'll see if I still have it. I don't know if you do or not, but it was basically saying that the officer had bumps and some bumps and bruises. Here we go. Incident report says officer suffered, quote, pain, swelling, and abrasions to wrist and his knee when Scottie Scheffler's car accelerated. And so you start asking yourself, because we still don't have any clarification on how he, quote, attached himself to the car. That was the only thing we heard, was he attached himself to the vehicle. Okay. Did he throw himself on the hood and go for a joyride, or did he just have his hand on the rearview mirror, on the side mirror, or on the top of the car? Like, what happened here? And I'm not going to sit here and say that the police are going to lie about this and say that there was nothing done and the officer threw himself down or whatever, but it's just the details are not there with this right now. And I want to keep talking about this because Scottie Scheffler released a statement. Need to talk about the charges and everything else that's happened, because there was a lot to go down before Scottie Scheffler rolled in and in less than an hour showed up on site, got ready for the round, and birdied the first hole he played.
And that's the thing that's crazy is, yeah, going to it, all of this is from beforehand in the 1 hour that essentially media had of covering Scheffler before his afternoon. I'm sure he's about to finish up 18 right now, and I'm sure he's dreading making this putt, having to go to the media.
Yeah, I can't wait, and I'm going to see if we can find that and maybe have something for you here on the show. We're talking Scottie Scheffler and anything else you want to on a free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
Halfway through hour number one here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, joined by a good friend of mine, Christian Griffin, in the studio. No Uncle T-Bone today. He will be back on Monday. And again, phone lines are open all show long. Your thoughts and opinions and takeaways from Scottie Scheffler, who is signing his scorecard right now after a 5-under par second round on the Friday of the PGA Championship. After a morning that was going to go down as one of the craziest in his life and the craziest in the world of people like us that talk about sports every single day. There's a ton more in terms of what happened with the arrest and all the details and everything. But Christian, on the golf side of things, Scottie Scheffler is arrested. He's charged. Mugshot is taken. It spreads across the interwebs. He then is released. Okay, he's released. Do you know, have you heard, who picked him up from the golf course and brought him back? Or picked him up from the jail and brought him back to the golf course. Have you heard this?
I have not.
It was the owner of Valhalla Golf Club. The golf club owner, the course owner, top dog, drove his vehicle and picked up Scottie Scheffler and dropped him off at the front door of the clubhouse. And the only thing that Scottie Scheffler said, Marty Smith was there on top of it from ESPN, very well-known reporter and personality. He said, "Scotty, do you have anything to say about what happened this morning?" And Scotty turned, he gave him a grin and said,
"Love you, Marty."
"Love you, Marty." Yep. And walked in. And he walked in the clubhouse, and apparently Scottie Scheffler walked in. There were some colleagues in there, and he said, "What's up, everybody?" Sat down, ate some eggs, and started preparing for his round. And the number they had on the screen just a minute ago, he showed up 56 minutes before his tee time. And he walked out and just shot 5-under par. That's unbelievable.
Most of us show up earlier than 56 minutes before our tee times to go and shoot an 85 or a 90. This man, on the Friday of the PGA Championship, the day to make the cut, the day to get yourself a pretty solid tee time into the weekend, just goes and shoots a 5-under, and not an easy 5-under either. Again, with the course conditions, I cannot imagine being his opponents. I mean, imagine being Xander Schauffele with a 4-shot lead going into the day over Scottie Scheffler, and all of a sudden you're tied on hole 3.
Like, yeah.
Just what a crazy situation on the golf course. We saw a bunch of golfers going up to him, Ricky Fowler, one of them, that mm-hmm. just walked up and said, "Hey, everything good, man?" He said, "Yeah, I'm good." As he was walking to the first tee. Stone cold. Scheffler's one of those guys that you can't hate on at all, but man, he frustrates you just by his ability to do what he does. He frustrates every single golf instructor in the world by telling all of these guys, swing this way, don't swing that way. He debunks all of that.
His feet are the nastiest thing I've ever seen when he swings. And if you haven't seen it, just Google it. I mean, you'll figure it out. And you're right. I mean, it's the fact that he was able to go through all of that and then show up, these guys normally get to the course like 2 or 3 hours before their tee time. Yeah. And they swing so many times, I don't see how they go out and play 18 holes. I'd be exhausted the amount of practice they do before a round.
And even after. Again, he was the very last one leave.
At 9 o'clock last night, local time. He was the last one to leave the golf course. And after all of that, showed up 56 minutes before his tee time, went in, got some food, changed, hit some range balls, putted for about 5 minutes, and walked to hole 10 because he was starting on the back nine, and birdied the first hole and ended up shooting 5 under par. He sits in third place at 9 under par with Xander Schauffele at 10 under and Colin Morikawa, who shot a 65 today, sitting at 11 under par. This is the most dominant thing, and just the I'm better than everybody
100%.
Mentally, physically, emotionally thing. That's the most dominant thing I've seen since a Tiger Woods type of performance. There's nobody else in the game that I've seen that could do that except Tiger Woods in his prime.
And emotionally is I think, the biggest thing, because anybody can go out and physically, you know, have a good round when things are going good. But as soon as you struggle on the golf course, everybody knows that plays how mental the golf game is. But for him to do what he did, I mean, shoot, maybe that's what he needs. Spend less time on the greens. Maybe he'll make some putts.
Quit warming up some. I don't know. Yeah, quit practicing your putting. And he's actually switched putters. I didn't know this. He switched putter heads, and now he's just a putting machine. So the golf world's done for. But we were talking about it during the break. For those of you that are golfing, and this is the biggest story of the day. And we got more Auburn things that we're going to get to in the back half of this show. But think about all the big names in just this tournament right now. Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, all these types of guys. How many of them at 5:30 this morning could have been arrested, picked up, basically bailed out, brought to the golf course, warm up for 55 minutes, and go out and shoot 5 under par? I don't know if any of them could do it. Some of those guys that I'm fans of would have lost it. They would have blown up today. Jordan Spieth, those types of guys that wear every single emotion on their sleeve, and you can tell every single time they hit a bad shot, and they do have Scotty Scheffler walking up to the presser right now. So if we get that, we may play that a little bit later. I'm so curious to see what he has to say. But half of those guys wouldn't have even come back to the golf course. They would have withdrawn and just gone home and tried to handle the legal stuff. But Scotty Scheffler, being the guy that he is, he said, no, I still have a chance to win, and showed up and shot 5 under par.
And it's not an illegitimate excuse either, if that was the case for some of these golfers. But as you were talking about it, the Jordan Spieths, the Rory McIlroys of the world, that when they're on that emotional high, they feel like they can't get stopped. But as soon as, you know, a square gets put on the scorecard, it feels like everything just starts to unravel and to blow up. But for Scottie Scheffler, again, I'm in 100% agreeance with you. The one guy that could handle all of this, again, with a felony charge under his name or attached to his name now, to be able to go out and control your emotions. And I mean, looking at him right now, looks like he just shot a normal round, is answering the questions. Again, we're trying to get that pulled up. You do have it right now.
Yeah, let's see. All right, this is from it. I'm pulling up on my YouTube TV account on ESPN. This is their broadcast right now. Let's see if we can get Scotty Scheffler and see what he's got to say.
What happened this morning? I did spend some time stretching in a jail cell. That was a first for me. You know, that was part of my warm-up. I was just sitting there waiting, and, you know, I started going through my warm-up. I felt like there was a chance I may be able to still come out here and play. And so I started going through my routine, and I tried to get my heart rate down as much as I could today. But like I said, you know, I still feel like my head's spinning a little bit. But, yeah, I was fortunate to be able to make it back out and play some golf today.
Here on one.
Scotty, what was it like even making the decision to continue to compete today and shifting focus to the task at hand and coming out and shooting 5 under?
Yeah, well, like I said, it was just a huge misunderstanding this morning that'll get resolved, I think, fairly quickly. And I came here for a golf tournament. I was driving in this morning trying to get to my warm-up time and get ready for the round of golf. You know, I didn't really have an understanding of what had transpired this morning. And, you know, my main focus after, you know, getting arrested was, you know, wondering if I could be able to come back out here and play. And, you know, fortunately, I was able to do that. And, yeah, it was nice to put together a solid round today for sure.
Dan on 17.
It seemed like the crowds were really behind you and your fellow players kind of rallied around you. Did you feel the support out there today from your community?
I really did. It was really nice. The fans were tremendous today. You know, I felt like they were cheering extra loud for me today, and it was, I mean, I really do. I know sometimes you can't really see it on my face, but I really do enjoy playing in front of the fans. The support I've been getting the last few months out here has been tremendous, and I'm really grateful for it.
Dylan on 18.
How long did it take before the golf felt normal, or did it feel normal at any point once you got out there?
It probably took a few holes to feel normal. You know, obviously I didn't have my normal warm up, and I'm a pretty I usually stick to my routine. I'm a big routine guy, especially when it comes to my preparation. But it took a few holes to settle in, and you know, it was kind of nice just to be out there inside the ropes competing. You know, it's one of my favorite things in the world to do, and so I was fortunate to be able to come out here and do it again today.
Right here, Mark, I'm four.
Scotty, we've come to know you as a pretty unflappable person out here, not affected by a lot of stuff. Can you describe how rattled you were when you were, and you just referenced, you know, being in a jail cell and whatnot. Just describe that mindset and how surreal that was for you.
Yeah, I was pretty rattled, to say the least. You know, the officer that took me to the jail was very kind. He was great. You know, he had a nice chat in the car that kind of helped calm me down. And I was sitting there waiting to kind of go in. I asked him, I was like, hey, excuse me, can you just come hang out with me for a few minutes so I can calm down? And, you know, I was never, you know, angry. I was just in shock. And I think my body was just, I was shaking the whole time. I was shaking for like an hour. It was definitely a new feeling for me. And he came out and we had a nice chat. And then the officers inside the jail were tremendous. A couple of them made some jokes, I think, when they figured out, you know, who I was and what happened and, you know, how I ended up there. You know, they this one older officer looked at me as I was doing like my fingerprints or whatever, and he looks at me, he goes, so do you want the full experience today? And I kind of looked at him, I was like, I don't know how to answer that. And he's like, come on, man, you want a sandwich? And I was like, sure, I'll take a sandwich. I hadn't eaten breakfast yet. And so, I mean, they were really kind. I'm grateful to have, I'm grateful that we have, you know, such strong police, and, you know, there are protectors out there. And, you know, like I said, we just got into a chaotic situation this morning. That's really all it was.
Mike six, Jim.
Thanks. Scotty, in terms of the ability to compartmentalize, how difficult was that challenge for you today once you got on the course?
Yeah, like I said, you know, my body was, I was shaking, you know, almost, I would say, in shock and in fear. And so coming out here and trying to play today was definitely a challenge, but I did my best to, you know, control my mind, control my breathing, and, you know, basically just calm down so I could come out here and try and play golf. You know, I knew there was going to be a lot of distractions, but I didn't really know what the reception would be like. And to be honest with you, it was great having the fans behind me. You know, they cheered for me really loud. I felt like they were really, really glad to have me out competing today. And, you know, it was a nice day to come out here and compete.
Over to Doug on five.
Is there any concern? I mean, it's been a huge rush from, you know, 6 o'clock this morning, that when you have the afternoon and you have the night to kind of process this, how it'll affect you going into the weekend?
You know, I'm going to go back to my normal routine now. You know, I may go practice a touch this afternoon, depending on my energy levels after I eat. And then I'll probably go into the gym, go through my movements, and then see my trainer and go home and get some rest. So as far as the rest of the week goes, I'm going to do my best to kind of continue to calm down from this morning, you know, continue to get my heart rate down, and get ready for a long weekend.
I'm just curious, what was your level of concern that you wouldn't make it back out here today? What was going through your head?
I mean, I didn't really know. I was just so confused at what was happening at the time that, you know, I didn't know what time it was. I didn't know what was going on. But when I was sitting in, like, the holding cell or whatever, there was a TV there, and I could see myself on the TV on ESPN. And it was Get Up was on, and so in the corner it showed the time, and it said they were delayed. And I was kind of thinking about my tee time. I was like, well, maybe, you know, I could be able to get out. You know, the officers downstairs had you know, they were discussing how long it was going to take me to get released. You know, obviously you have to go through all the due process and everything. And, you know, I was able to kind of see a bit of the TV, and, you know, then I laid down and then I started to stretch a little bit once I got my heart rate down a little bit.
Up to Mike 16.
Scotty, did it ever cross your mind with you shaking and stuff that voluntarily not playing today and maybe going home did that ever cross your mind?
Not really, no.
Did any members of your team tell you anything today to like calm you down, just kind of reset before you went out?
Yeah, like I said, I was I was in shock, and so I was shaking, and it took me a little while, you know, in the car on the way over here to kind of calm down. But my manager was in the car, and two gentlemen from the club were in the car with me, and yeah, we were able to talk, have a nice chat. You know, they were. I mean, I'm not really going to get into the details of that either, but yeah, I was able to have a nice chat there. I got here, gave my mom and dad a hug. You know, my my coach Randy was there, Blake was there. You know, my whole team was there for me. You know, in a moment where I really needed them, especially to, like I said, I was in such shock at what was happening that I think, you know, I really didn't stop shaking for a while just because it was a chaotic situation. And yeah, my team, I leaned on them pretty heavily this morning.
How about that? That is a live press conference with Scottie Scheffler right now. That is happening at the PGA Championship after his third round. Go ahead and cut it off. Kind of getting a little repetitive down the stretch. But, man, I mean, that's as surreal as it gets. I mean, he literally just walked us through how the morning went. He said, I was confused. They took me to jail. And I watched myself on TV watching Get Up from ESPN again. That is from the ESPN broadcast happening right now on television. So ESPN affiliate, we could do that. Sure, why not? That was Scottie Scheffler this morning. We'll talk about that as we wrap up hour number one when we come back here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Joining me in the studio today is Christian Griffin. And if you just missed it, we were playing, and it's about to wrap up, the live post-round press conference with Scottie Scheffler. And the quote of the day, maybe the quote of the year, Christian: I just stretched in a jail cell this morning, so that was a first. That's what Scottie Scheffler just said. He talked about how the morning went and how the craziness of it was and how he was just so, he said, shocked. That was, and confused. Those were the words that he threw around, and he said, I stretched in a jail cell this morning, so that was a first. He was prepping for his round inside of a jail cell. This guy's insane.
It's all that he knows, and there were a couple of questions that the reporters asked of, was it ever something where you were considering not playing? And his answer was, you know, no. And
it was like a, how dare you ask me that type of no.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then along with that, imagine how much, regardless of what you go out and shoot, imagine how important this round of golf was for Scottie just to clear his mind and get some ease, get some time to clear his mind and try and relax a little bit again. I mean, he said that he asked the police officer to just come and hang out and talk with him for a little bit as soon as he got into the cell, just so that way he would have somebody there to try and calm him down and ease his heart rate a little bit. So just, I can only imagine somebody like Scottie that can turn it off and turn it on with his mind as soon as he gets to that first tee box, how important this was for him and just his mental state.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Here's the statement that Scottie Scheffler released once he was released from jail earlier this morning. It says, quote, this morning I was proceeding as directed by police officers. It was a very chaotic situation, understandably so, considering the tragic accident that had occurred earlier, and there was a big misunderstanding of what I thought I was being asked to do. I never intended to disregard any of the instructions. I'm hopeful to put this to the side and focus on golf today. Of course, all of us involved in the tournament express our deepest sympathies to the family of the man who passed away in the earlier accident this morning. It truly puts everything in perspective, end quote. And he mentioned that right there again in his press conference while we were in break. He mentioned, you know, again, condolences go out to what started all of this was a man losing his life. A vendor that was working outside the golf tournament was struck and killed by a bus this morning. Like, that's so horrific. And it's just led to so many different things. And of course, this one being the biggest news story out of all of this. And Scottie Scheffler, cool as a cucumber, man, just sat there and answered questions. And reporters asked him the same five questions, like, how'd you feel? When did you know you were going to play? Did you think about drawing out? How long were you in the jail cell? He was like, guys, I don't know. He was like, I was just sitting there. He was like, I don't know. Like, and he said, I was starting to think about if I could make my round and make my tee time. So I started stretching and was laying there and everything. And the funny things were, he said, yeah, I stretched in a jail cell this morning before my round. And he said there was a TV within viewing distance. And he looked up and there's Get Up on ESPN, and there's Scotty Scheffler being arrested. And so he kind of had a laugh about that, and he was like, wow, this is kind of surreal.
Surreal is definitely the right word. And then cool as a cucumber, which you mentioned, he sounded like he just played a normal round of golf and shot a 66 and was getting interviewed about his day. I mean, you would have never thought that anything tragic would have happened with him or just with the entire situation. You just wouldn't know it. And that's Scheffler's ability to just simply turn it on and turn it off. You hear about it with baseball players or football players. As soon as you step on the diamond or as soon as you step on the field, everything else of the world kind of goes away and you sit there and focus at the task at hand. And how much of a Scotty Scheffler statement was it that he said he didn't even name drop himself? Didn't even have to. The reporter asked him, you know, did you ever say, hey, I'm Scotty Scheffler.
Like, yeah, do you know who I am?
Right. And he just said, he kind of laughed and was like, no. Because he realizes, and that's another thing that you love Scotty, but it also frustrates the heck out of you. He doesn't live and die by the game of golf. Mm-hmm. And I think that is why he has so much success, is the fact that he realizes there's so much more than playing 18 holes every day.
Yeah, he said the officers were very nice, very polite. They were kind of joking around with him at the station, and an older officer asked if he wanted the full experience, and Scotty said, sir, I don't know how to answer that, and all it was a sandwich. So, I mean, it seems to be okay, and Scotty, I'll say this, he seemed very confident that this is all going to get resolved.
I would say so, yeah. He said that it was all just a big misunderstanding, and I'm sure all of this is going to be resolved rather quickly, and I think we both agree here.
I think so, too. Scotty Scheffler, what a day he's had, man. We've talked about it all of hour number one. Some Auburn news and updates, plus anything else on your mind on this free-for-all Friday. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Hour number two, coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Friday afternoon. It's maybe clearing up. Oh, my gosh. I see blue skies over there. I'm looking out the window. I see blue, Christian. It's unbelievable.
Go put that right where our golf course is this weekend.
That's
all that we need right
there.
Yeah.
I was talking about that this morning on Auburn Opelika this morning when I filled in for Ben, and I was like, man, I actually had plans outside this weekend, and yeah. I thought they got rained out. Apparently not. I guess we're going to play golf this weekend.
We're going to try to.
Sure. Yeah, we're going over to, Fort Gaines, Georgia? Yeah. I've never been over there. So, yeah, golf course over there. We're planning a little, supposed to be a two-day, three-man scramble. Don't know how that's going to work, but we'll try it out, and they said we're playing. So that's coming up for us this weekend. He is Christian Griffin, my color commentator on the Lee Scott Sports Network, joining me in the studio today with no Uncle T-Bone, and I am, of course, Jacob Goins with you here from 2 to 4. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch up with the podcast. We talked all things Scotty Scheffler and the PGA Championship. The biggest story of the day, one of the biggest stories of the year. We talked all about it in hour number one. We also were very lucky to catch Scotty Scheffler's post-round press conference live, and we carry that for you right here on the show. So if you missed it and have not heard of what Scotty had to say, you can go back later on today and listen to the podcast. You can find it on our station website at espnau.com, or you can just search On the Line wherever you get your podcast. We're going to shift our focus a little bit, talk some Auburn athletics. We need some baseball, softball updates, also some recruiting updates, and then get into some more fun conversations down the stretch. But Free for All Friday, phone lines are open. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about on this Friday afternoon? 334-321 1390. It can be anything. Something we're talking about, something out of the blue, doesn't matter. As long as it's sports related, we're here for you and we want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. Kristen, you were looking up updates for Auburn softball, who is underway in the NCAA regionals down in Tallahassee. They get underway with UCF today, and then if they were to win that, more than likely Florida State. What kind of updates do we have from Tallahassee?
Yeah, first pitch was slated for 1 p.m., and they're obviously not getting the same kind of funky weather that we are. I'm sure that they'll get some sort of, because it's in Florida. They'll get the pop-up showers.
They'll get something,
But Auburn currently leading 6-2 in the top half of the fifth inning. Matty Penta is in the circle for the Tigers. Gave up a two spot in the top half of the first, but as expected, nothing but zeros since her line as of right now. 4 1/3, 6 hits, 2 earned, 2 runs, 2 of them earned. 6 Ks and 2 doubles. Just gave up a 1-out double, so Auburn looking to dance out of a little bit of a jam, but in command here, only needing 8 more outs. There we go. Math.
There you go. Okay, so Auburn softball is doing their thing, and if they were to win this game, they would more than likely play that Florida State team, who has one of the best offenses in the country. Who started today for Auburn softball in the circle? Does it say who?
It was Penta.
Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Apologies. So that was kind of the discussion, was if Auburn was going to go pitch by committee and just try to throw 3 or 4 girls out there and win game one to save Matty Penta for game two, or if they were going to try and almost guarantee themselves a game one victory, and it sounds like that's what they're doing with one of the best pitchers in all of college softball.
Yeah, go ahead and get yourself into the winner's bracket. You wouldn't be surprised to see her or Shelby, if not both of them, in game two, and try and do everything you can, again, to be in the winner's bracket, make it all the way to the championship, to where either of those teams would have to beat you twice. But again, we talk about it with those 3-game series. Winning that first one puts you in such a better spot than having to come up from the elimination bracket.
So that's what's going on there. We'll keep you updated on that. In the baseball world, Auburn baseball last night opened up their final series of the weekend, hosting Alabama, the Crimson Tide in town. Of course, they will be in the SEC tournament. Those seedings have already I don't know if the seedings are released yet, but at least the teams that are in it have been released, and it is official. Auburn, on the other hand, is not going to be in any sort of postseason play, will not be in Hoover, and will not be in any sort of NCAA postseason play. So this is their final series of the year. And Christian, they get off to a nice start. They beat Alabama last night in game one of the series. Offense was not all there, but the pitching was, and they did just enough, and they take down the Crimson Tide in game one.
Yeah, beat them 4-2, and Auburn right now just kind of in that spoiler driver's seat, I guess you could say, just trying to knock off the rival. And why not? I mean, if that's especially for those seniors, go ahead and go out on top over your in-state rival, beating them 4-2. We haven't heard anything about game two this afternoon. I mean, looking outside, I feel like I could unofficially give you the weather report, but
yeah, I mean, as of right now, as we are your direct local affiliate for the Auburn Sports Network, everything's a go for now. I'm hearing that they will continue to monitor the weather, but no changes as of right now. So hopefully, maybe the rain will kind of clear out or just stay at a light drizzle to where the field's covered and everything is hopefully protected. And yeah, maybe they can get this game in tonight.
And they got some really big news for Auburn baseball as well. Heading to Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas, to play in the 2025 College Baseball Series, a little 4-team tournament where there's 4 invitations every single year. It'll be Auburn, Baylor, Ohio State, and Oregon State. So a pretty slated lineup there in Arlington. I know it was a heck of a series this year with Texas and Texas Tech playing. I think one of those games was like a 19-5 final game. But again, being able to play in Arlington and being able to represent the South. I mean, everybody else is coming from everywhere else, but Auburn going to Globe Life Field February 28th through March 2nd.
So there you go. There's some news on that. Again, if Auburn baseball does go tonight, if they do end up playing, first pitch set for 6 p.m., I believe, and then the broadcast for the Auburn Sports Network with Andy Burcham and Brad Law will be over on our sister station, Wings 94.3. There is some recruiting news going on around Auburn this weekend in terms of football. We talked about this guy yesterday. Andrew Babalola, the 5-star offensive lineman, offensive tackle, is in town. He is on campus for a visit this weekend out of the state of Kansas. 6'6", 280 pounds, is on campus for Auburn. And Christian, I talked about this yesterday. It's just refreshing, right? It's refreshing to see a coaching staff and a head coach that, to keep it simple, he just gets it. He's recruiting guys that you desperately need in the trenches where the game is still won and lost. And Auburn has revived their offensive line through the transfer portal and through some high school recruiting. And you continue to see guys like this at least come to campus. And Auburn continues to try to build up their offensive line for not just this year, but for the future as well.
Yeah, and again, that's where the trenches are won and lost. And that's where you feel like Auburn's had a lot of frustration on the field. Again, you feel like especially that running back room, one of the best in the country, but you feel like over the past couple of years have had to play so far behind with rushing yards before contact, almost in the negatives or the .5s, having to work so much extra time to try and get creative. I mean, how many times would you like to see this Auburn team just be able to take an 8-play drive where you're running the ball,
ugh,
you know, 36 or 38 power just right through the right tackle or the left tackle, just going for 6 or 7 yards and come away with a touchdown. And I feel like that is the mentality, again, with this RPO type of offense that Coach Freeze is going to want to run. You're going to have those big guys that can plug up some of those holes and open up some holes for the running game.
Yeah, exactly. And for Auburn, I mean, if you can – Hugh Freeze can just continue to bring in top-level talent out of state, of course. But, I mean, the in-state recruiting is something that they've really ramped up too, just trying to take the state back of in a position where you just got dominated for years from the team up in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, and that's – I mean, it is. You feel like there's almost – it's up for the grabs, up for taking. And, you know, you see a bunch of guys both in Alabama and Georgia, you feel like both of those states have been kind of controlled. Alabama, Auburn, and Georgia, obviously, those three teams right in that one little area, you feel like they're kind of up for grabs right now. And I know there's a big name coming from Carrollton High School as well that's supposed to be on the plains this weekend. Somebody that I'm sure would have to or would love to have some offensive line help as well.
Yeah, I'm telling you what, Julian Lewis, one of the most highly rated quarterbacks in the class that Auburn is going after. He's a longtime USC commit, but Auburn's trying to flip him. And this is one of those situations where if you're USC, you're really starting to sweat. He's still taking a visit out there. He's taking a visit to Indiana for whatever reason and is taking a visit here to Auburn. And if you're USC, you really start stressing because he's been committed to USC for a long, long time, but he has openly stated that he is still kind of searching around and looking for his options. And Auburn seems to really be growing in the trend of landing a 5-star quarterback out of high school, which, I mean, that's what Auburn needs. You're going after the number one guy, the best quarterback in the class. You're going after him and trying to flip him from a big-time program from USC.
Well, he said that he wants to be the guy that kind of paints his own trail. He wasn't one to necessarily follow. He'd love to write his own story. And so being a Carrollton guy in the state of Georgia, Georgia was up in the running for a really, really long time. But they just landed, Jared Curtis? I believe was it Ryan Montgomery? I know that both of them were talking about it, but that same class, the 4-star commit, so you feel like that almost flips Georgia out of the conversation. And so again, as you mentioned, I feel like if you're USC, you're starting to sweat off your brow a little bit, knowing that Auburn is going really hard after you, and it feels like he's loving everything that he's getting at Auburn as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So Auburn continuing to put some work in terms of recruiting and football, and man, if you could just get the roster elevated. I mean, the roster that Hugh Freeze took over was just such in a bad spot, and he had to come in and had to really revive it is the best word that I can use. And you put it together and it was okay, right? It was fine. And then all of a sudden it got better and you started hitting the transfer portal. And look, this roster is going to be full of transfer portal guys, but there's nothing wrong with that. And Christian, that's been a conversation here this week too, is why didn't Auburn go get a transfer portal quarterback this offseason? And that's got a lot of people fired up and stirred up. Is Hugh Freeze has basically put his stamp of confidence on I am trusting the guys in the room. I'm trusting Peyton Thorne as my starter and to develop the guys behind him. Where do you stand on why Auburn, and should have Auburn gone and gotten somebody in the portal?
It's easy to say watching last year that, you know, you want to put everything at the QB position. I think that Peyton Thorne has the ability and has the arm talent to spread the ball to the receivers. He's a guy that wants to throw the 50-50 ball. We saw that a lot last year, and I think there was one guy that could actually go up and make a play, and that'd be Rivaldo Fairweather. We saw that in the end zone against Cal, and we saw it all throughout the season. He kind of became that one guy, but it almost came to the point of where as soon as Rivaldo Fairweather lined up outside the tight end position, everybody else was on the far side. He was on the near side. You knew exactly where that ball was going. And so being one of those guys that loves to throw the 50-50 ball, I think Hugh Freeze prioritized being able to get the guys that can go up and make that play and make it to where it doesn't necessarily turn a 50-50 ball. It needs to be a 75-25 of where it's a completion or an incompletion. You just have to have the guy that throws it to where all of a sudden your receiver isn't having to play DB and go back and get the ball. And I think Hugh Freeze prioritized that with the offensive line, really establishing that RPO system, giving Peyton Thorne an entire fall camp, an entire spring camp, which he didn't get last year, to feel more comfortable in this offense. And again, we hear it from the Auburn transfer receivers talking about how, I mean, they're possibly taking less money to come to Auburn and be a part of this receiving class.
Yeah, that's what Keandre Lambert-Smith, the Penn State wide receiver, talked about, was took less money to come be a part of the Auburn program, which, shoot, when's the last time a receiver left a big-time program and said, you know where I want to go and play wide receiver? Let's go to Auburn. That seems like a good spot to go. That hasn't happened in forever. But guys like him are starting to see maybe a turnaround, and I think he wants to be a part of that turnaround. And he said that in his quotes when he committed was, look, I want to be the guy, and I want to go in, and I understand there is some serious talent in that room. There's some really young guys, and Dre Lambert-Smith wants to be the leader for them. He wants to be their kind of their mentor, if you will, and train them up to make them as good as they can be.
And I think that is an absolutely amazing mindset that you have to have. And I feel like that was why he was such an important get, was because he understands his role. He's someone that can come to Auburn right now and be your X or be your Y, be your number one go-to receiver, because you know that the guys below him are going to continue to improve week in and week out. Again, we know what Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, all of those, Bryce Kane, Marcus, Malcolm Simmons, we know what those guys are supposed to bring to the table, but you can't expect guys like that to be able to produce like that in week one. But when you have a guy like Keandre Lambert-Smith that can come in, give them all spring to kind of hop on his back and learn everything. Because, again, he was a number one. He was the number one at Penn State.
Yep.
And so a guy that's been around the block, who's been there and has done that, played in the big game. He's been the guy that's needed, hey, it's 3rd and 10. We're throwing the ball to you. Go make a grab.
Mm-hmm.
He's been that guy. And so being able to give that mindset and feed into that mindset of the younger group, I think he's going to be one of those guys you look at in a couple years and you want to go shake his hand and tell him thank you.
I've said it a few times. I think he will be the number one guy to start the year.
I agree.
But I highly doubt he's the number one guy to end the year. And that's fine, because he's going to walk in and use his experience, and he's going to have the trust of Peyton Thorne as to seasoned guys in college football, where he has the ability to run the correct routes, have the right timing, and just get open, okay? And then by the time Arkansas, Oklahoma rolls around, it's like, all right, our top-tier defense, we've got to cover him because he's just tearing people up. That's going to open it up for everybody else. And then for the first time in, I don't know, a decade, defenses are going to have to decide which Auburn wide receiver they want to cover. You have to make a choice. Do you double?
Sounds so nice to hear.
It sounds foreign. I don't think I've ever said it. Do you double Lambert-Smith, or do you bring the safety over to help him, or do you do it against Cam Coleman or Perry Thompson? Like, those are going to be decisions that SEC defenses finally have to make against Auburn, which makes them so dangerous.
And that's why, again, it's been the first time in forever that you've been able to have a guy like what you were talking about, to where I think he's going to be that day one starter. Completely agree with you in how he's going to attract most of the defensive attention, especially the DBs and the safeties week one and week two. But then again, Cam Coleman's going to be good enough to go out and make plays. And all of a sudden, if you have to start doubling them, you start having to go two high safeties. All of a sudden, there's only five in the box rather than seven or eight, which Auburn is used to. I think that'll be Jarquez Hunter and Damari Alston's best friend as well.
Absolutely. A running back room that I've continued to say it's top five, easily top three in the SEC behind what I believe is going to be a top five offensive line. Let's get to our first break here in hour number two. Phone lines are lighting up. We're going to get to those when we come back. We'd love for you to be a part of that. 334-321-1390. Back after this here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line. On ESPN 106.7, online at ESPNAU.com, or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Let's get to the phone lines here on the Friday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. Spectre, what's up, man? Happy Friday.
Nothing much. Kind of wet out here.
Yeah, it's chilled out a little bit here in Auburn. Hopefully it just starts drying up, but I think there's more weather in the radar, huh?
Well, actually, it's supposed to taper off tonight and probably break up in the morning and have probably Saturday afternoon.
I got you.
Put it that way. But anyway, you guys talk about my favorite subject, Peyton Thorne.
Peyton Thorne.
So when you brought him up, I knew I had to call him. You knew that. Well, you know, we're going to have to come up with a different crutch for him because all of last year, all we heard was he didn't get to start spring practice.
Mm-hmm.
And that was his downfall. Well, he's had, what, now fall practice and 12 games under his belt?
And another spring, yeah. Or I guess spring, yeah.
So he's got a crutch. He's got a supporting cast now that should make up for the difference.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Spectre. There is no crutch now.
No.
There's no excuse for Peyton Thorne, and I think most fans feel that way. I mean, it's do or die for him, and that's where the whole leash conversation comes in, is how far do you let him go? But, no, there's no crutch now. I mean, he has no excuse to not be good this year.
Yeah, I agree. Coach missed his opportunity to develop one of those quarterbacks all of last year. And, even when I understand we wanted to get the above 500, I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But, it's a bowl game. He should have started one of the other quarterbacks. And my opinion, Peyton didn't earn the bowl game.
I think it's fair.
He should have developed one of these quarterbacks all of last year. I mean, we went all last year with Peyton Thorne. Hope you saw what happened with Ashford, and that's another thing. I'm curious to see what Ashford's going to do at South Carolina.
Yeah, I am too.
He did officially lose the starting job, so he will not be the QB1 for game one for South Carolina.
Right?
Yes, sir.
All right. Okay.
So
is there a reason why? Or
I think he just got beat out.
Yeah, got beat out.
Who was the guy that beat him out?
Oh, man, I don't even know his name off the top of my head. I remember seeing the announcement, about a week or so ago that he got beat out, right, Christian? And, I think it's a guy that's either been there or was another incoming transfer. I can't remember the name. Christian will look it up. But, yeah, he did get beat out. Doesn't mean he can't find a role, right, Spectrum? I mean, he played back up here for a while.
Yeah, I know. I think Coach wasted his time on Ashford now that I think about it and have time to reflect on last year. He should have put more emphasis on one of the other quarterbacks, maybe Hank Brown or the other guy, Holden.
Holden Garner. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, anyway, I'm curious to see now what my man Peyton's going to do. He's an Auburn Tiger, It's not like he's somebody else from another team coming in here, but he's been here a couple years now, so.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm going to support him until I don't.
Yeah, I mean, I think how Auburn fans should be. Support him until he gives you a reason not to.
Yeah, that's right, buddy. Anyway, I got to go. I got to get dry.
All right, appreciate the call, Spectre. Good to hear from you, man. 334-321-1390.
And we do have confirmation. It's Dante Reno
freshman.
Will be the starting quarterback for the Gamecocks.
It's so early to announce. I mean, they're announcing that after the spring that a freshman quarterback's coming in and starting at South Carolina. Interesting. And have you seen the schedule for South Carolina?
Oh, it's
brutal.
It's what Auburn has dealt with for you feel like the past decade.
Yeah, pretty
much. It is brutal. There's a couple SEC teams that have the brutal schedules. And going off on the whole Peyton Thorne thing, I mean, I know this is the conversation that everybody wants to have and everybody wants to hear. You've heard so many different storylines about how he doesn't have to be Batman, just let him be a really good Robin. And I feel like that's, I mean, I'm sure this is something that you've talked about quite a bit, but my thing with Peyton Thorne is he needs to master or be very, very good at three things. It is the RPO decision making. It is that 8 to 10 yard inside route right in between the linebackers and the safeties. And then the ball that he wants to throw, something I talked about before the break, that 50-50 ball on the deep threats. He now has the length and the size out wide in that receiver unit to go and make plays, but he has to be the one to deliver the ball where it is not a 50-50 ball. It is your receiver goes up and catches it, it falls out of bounds, or it falls incomplete. And if you can master those three things, let your offensive line, let your receivers, and let the guys to your right and left hip be the ones that make you look really good.
And we know that Hugh Freeze is going to run, I mean, 75% RPO plays because he said it last year. He said it in the spring because people were asking him, if what we were going to see in the A-Day game. And he's like, look, most of what we do is RPO. Like, we put it in the hands of the quarterback and let him make the call. And you have to be able to do that. I'm 100% with you. With the running backs that you have, with Jarquez Hunter as your go-to guy once more, the Cowboy himself, you have a chance to be elite on the ground and be what Auburn football is, running the football, with the offensive line that's going to be so much improved. I'm not saying it's going to be the best unit in the league, but it will be top five.
It will be so much better. And I think as much struggle as there was last year, Auburn fans got a glimpse of Peyton Thorne in his legs, and it's not necessarily fast, but it's sure as heck quick getting out of the shotgun. And so him running the ball 8 to 10 times a game, just keeping the defenses honest to where that defensive end, you can read him, and he's not sitting there flying at one of the running backs right off the line. It's going to open everything up. I really think it will.
South Carolina's football schedule, just in case anybody was curious. They open up with Old Dominion. All right, that's fine. Second game of the year, at Kentucky, back home for LSU, and then Akron. Ole Miss comes to town. They're at Alabama. They're at newcomer Oklahoma before they welcome Texas A&M. They take a trip to Vanderbilt. They host Missouri, host Wofford, and then go on the road to Clemson. Yikes.
That's brutal. But speaking of Old Dominion, with NCAA 25 coming out, got a couple buddies. We're starting a dynasty. I officially accept the job as the Old Dominion head coach. So you might see me out there in week one.
And you may be able to beat South Carolina in week one. That's how bad they're going to be in terms of that schedule. We're talking more Auburn football hypotheticals here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Give us a call, 334-321-1390.
The Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line. It's the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, with you in the studio. I'm joined by Christian Griffin, good friend of mine, my color commentator over on the Lee Scott Sports Network. And we've gotten into the weeds, as we typically do in talking season, with this Auburn football team and kind of what we're going to see coming up this fall. We want to hear from you. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through to us. And a lot of the talk is on the offensive side. And Spectre had called in and said, well, we got to find what's the new excuse, basically, for Peyton Thorne this season? What's it going to be? Last year, he's correct. It was, well, he didn't have a spring, and the talent wasn't there, and the play calling was iffy at best, and all of that. Well, guess what, Christian? That's all not true anymore. He went through the spring. Hugh Freeze is calling his plays, and this is the most talent Auburn's offense has had in, I don't know, 15 years?
And you hear Thorne on the other end completely agreeing and going off of that confidence, saying that this is the best that he's felt since his freshman and sophomore year at Michigan State, where, I mean, you look at the numbers, they're very, very similar to the 2017 Jarrett Stidham-esque. And, I mean, you know what he did at Auburn. So if they can get some things rolling, and going back to, I mean, with Peyton Thorne, you got to have confidence too, if knowing that your quarterback, or knowing that your head coach rather, didn't go after anybody and said that you're kind of the guy, That being said, as soon as you hear that first crutch or that first excuse, that's going to turn a lot of people off.
I'll say this. I'll kind of go a different route on that. I say, because Hugh Freeze got everybody stirred up last week, right, with the I couldn't get myself to pay $1 million for a quarterback in the portal, yada, yada, yada. I am based off of what he said, I was faced with a situation. Do I develop the guys in the room or do I go and buy somebody out of the portal, basically? And he said he couldn't get himself to do it. You're saying that he showed confidence in Peyton Thorne. I'll go the other way. I think he showed confidence in the guys behind Peyton Thorne because, sure, he believes in Peyton, but he's confident enough in the ones behind him, a.k.a. Hank Brown, where if Peyton Thorne doesn't get the job done early on, he'll replace him, and he'll put somebody else in there that he believes can get the job done. Now, whether it truly be Hank Brown, who I believe will be the number two guy, or is it Holden Garner or Walker White, who knows? But I think Peyton Thorne, or I think Hugh Freeze saying, you know what, I don't need somebody out of the portal. I trust the guys in my room to run my offense and get the job done. That's what that says to me is, I'm not going to get a quarterback because I trust the guys in the room if Peyton Thorne can't get it done.
Yeah, it's a really good point, and I think it speaks to why Holden is still an Auburn Tiger.
Why he's still
here. I think that he was kind of the one name that everybody was looking at, that whether or not Auburn got another guy at the quarterback position or if there was somebody that was named, if he was going to bounce. Because Hank Brown, by no means is he that feel-good story to, you know, being that the Liberty commit and then all of a sudden joining Hugh Freeze at Auburn. But him and then Walker White coming in, there's now four guys that you feel confident enough about that you could throw out there if need be. So the fact that Holden Garner is still an Auburn Tiger speaks to that, exactly what you're saying with Coach Freeze and how he chooses and is choosing to develop the guys rather than what he said, go out and get a guy that's going to be on campus for 6 or 8 months and then walk again.
Yeah, that one-year rental, which has become so popular nowadays and in college football, and we talk a lot about that in college basketball too, where you go and get the guy where you pay him a boatload of money, and yeah, like you said, he's on campus for less than an actual calendar year, and you're just hoping that it works out. And I think, too, Hugh Freeze is trying to build a program from the bottom and make it for the future rather than turning into the Ole Miss of the world, where it's like, man, you got to relearn 3/4 of the roster every year because they just load up out of the transfer portal and there's no real cohesion. There's no real system put in place. And a big word that Hugh Freeze has constantly used since he was hired way back when was he wants to build a culture. There was no culture here. There was nothing. And the one that was, Brian Harsin absolutely killed it. And Hugh Freeze was trying to rebuild that. And let's just face it, you cannot do that out of the transfer portal. It does not work. It's been proven. You can win games, sure, but building the program and the culture of the program and the narrative around your program, it cannot be done with guys coming in and out left and right year after year. You build that by bringing in guys for 3 and 4 years, starting at 18 and 19 years old.
Well, the transfer portal in college football today is a Band-Aid over the true issues in teams with teams in college football. It is, we're really struggling at the quarterback position. Let's go get somebody that can throw a little Band-Aid and cover up a couple of our wounds. It can maybe add, you know, a couple wins to the schedule possibly. But as you were talking about, somebody, you need a couple guys that you're going to have a full focus on, whether that's, you know, Cam Coleman or any of these receivers coming out of high school, and then you get somebody like Dre Lambert Smith that can show them the ropes. But rather than going and getting 5 or 6 guys that are just coming in and have all the talent in the world, but absolutely zero chemistry, zero culture, that word that you used, it's simply throwing a Band-Aid onto everything.
Let's get to the phone lines here on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line, 334-321-1390. You'll understand this voice and know him very, very well. He's typically with me on Fridays in the studio. Uncle T-Bone out on the road somewhere. What's up, man? Happy Friday.
Bad boys, what you gonna do? What you gonna do, Scotty, when they come for you? Bad boys. What's up, man?
What is up? What you think about the biggest story in the news and sports world that happened way back when at 5:30 a.m. this morning, huh?
I'm a little out of the loop the last couple of hours. I've been in some meetings, unfortunately. I'm heading back don't have good sports talk radio up here, so I don't know the most recent, but from everything I saw earlier today, I hate to say it, it sounds like Louisville police gone wild, Jacob.
That seems to be the general consensus right now, and Scottie Scheffler, after getting his morning stretches in a jail cell and watching himself on a TV from behind bars, rolled into Valhalla with the sunglasses on and a backwards hat, not really, but basically, and all he did, Uncle T-Bone, was go out and shoot 5 under par on a tough golf course in the pouring down rain, and he's sitting currently tied for 3rd in the PGA Championship.
Uncle T-Bone, that's just something that you usually do, right? He's just taking a book out of your scorecard right there, showing up an hour before and almost shooting the course record. That's what you're used to, right?
Yeah, showing up about 5 minutes before tee time and asking what the course record is my MO. Okay. Why would I hit range balls and warm up? I'm going to leave all my good shots down there.
That's right. That's what seemed to happen with Scottie Scheffler. Maybe he'll cut his warm up time down by a third now that he just had a fantastic round.
I tell you, I wake up early this morning and I turn on ESPN to get the latest ride on SportsCenter, and I see this headline and it says, "Pedestrian killed, Scottie Scheffler arrested outside gates of Valhalla." And I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, Scottie Scheffler has hit somebody in his car and killed them, and now he's going to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that message would seem to be crafted almost by national media people early this morning. And look, I'm going to give the arbitrary, the person who died this morning, it's terrible. Okay, everyone's going to agree to that. But the way they kept weaving that into this Scottie Scheffler story, it was a little disturbing to me, the gaslighting that was going on this morning about the story.
What do you mean? I guess just because it kept getting brought up and they were trying to tie Scottie to all of that?
Yeah, it's almost like they were trying to make it even more dramatic that this arrest happened.
Are you surprised?
You know, I'm not, but it was borderline sickening. And then some people on ESPN this morning, a reporter saying, you know, let's not lose sight of the fact that this could carry on for a very long time and the charges are very serious. And Scottie and his wife just had a baby on May the 8th. I mean, you know what? If I was Scottie Scheffler, I'd find out who that reporter is, and he and I'd be having some words.
Well, if you didn't get a chance, Uncle T-Bone, back in the first hour, we were able to catch Scottie Scheffler live on his post-round press conference, and we played it right here on the show. And you would never know, other than the questions, of course, you would never know that he was arrested at 5:30, strolled into Valhalla with 56 minutes to play before his tee time, and shot 5 under and just played it like any other day and answered some questions and had some legendary quotes. He said, I did my morning stretches in a jail cell. That was a first. I watched myself on TV from behind bars. That was kind of weird. And then, yeah, I just kind of turned it on and went and played one of his better rounds in a major.
Well, he's more of an ice man than me, because I'd have the full-blown devil in me and be looking to mix it up with some folks. I mean, honestly, and he's going to handle this with the utmost class, but could you blame the guy for loading up for bear and saying, you know what, y'all been doing some irreputable harm to my reputation through all this? Because, I mean, the memes that have been flying around, you know, it's all – you know, good for him for not allowing himself to be a punchline. But I'll say this, if the story comes out that this was a police officer who was having a really bad day in a really tough situation and took it out on this car and this player because that person could not understand what he was telling him to do or did not understand the situation and thought that he was a security guard waving him through, which I think he thought that was, like other players were waved through. And it all that's going to make the city of Louisville and that police department a punchline in sports for a very long time.
And not only was it just a random car, it was a specifically player-marked vehicle, Uncle T-Bone. His vehicle, right, and all the players and caddies and people that are supposed to be there are clearly marked. that they're supposed to be there. And, yeah, Scotty has handled it with utmost class, and you could hear him in his post-round press conference. Just, he said, yeah, I have no doubt that it's going to get handled. He didn't seem to be too worried about it. And, look, they've already hired a lawyer, the best one in Louisville, on his behalf. And I hope it all works out, and hopefully nothing comes of this. But, yeah, man, Scotty Scheffler, I'm with you, my man. I just don't think I could have kept my composure at 5:30 in the morning.
Well, I guess that's why he's the best golfer in the world, Jacob Goins, and you're one of the best sports casters in the world, my friend.
Yeah, they say those are one and the same, I think.
Well, I mean, close enough.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Hey, if my name and Scotty Scheffler's name are thrown in the same sentence, I'll take it any day of the week, friend.
He's going to win this tournament, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's already the favorite. He's the betting favorite. Go ahead, Christian.
Well, that was my thing, too, Uncle T-Bone. I was going to ask you a question. I know you were given Mr. Xander Schauffele a little bit of words earlier in the week.
Yeah.
He's sitting up here. He's T1 right now, and he's one of the only guys on the leaderboard. He's only through 7 right now. He's 11 under. Are we taking anything back, or are you going to wait till Sunday comes to see if anything comes up with it?
I'm going to have to wait and see if he goes Ricky Fulder on us again.
There's a good chance he will. I hope not. I hope it's competitive come Sunday. But, man, what a wild story this has been. I've been tracking it since 5:30 this morning, and hopefully everything works out. And, man, it's been a crazy day in the world of sports, Uncle T-Bone.
Yes, it has. Well, look, I will see y'all Monday, and just keep on keeping on, guys.
Yes, sir. Hey, safe travels to you on the way back, and try to get back to the loveliest village on the plains. Uncle T-Bone, my co-host on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Not with us today. He's on the road, had a business meeting, but had to call in and talk about that Scotty Scheffler news. And that's some of the things that we failed to get to earlier on in the show, Christian, was a clearly marked vehicle that other players had been driving similar to, had been let into the course already, and I know this word has been used, but it really does seem to boil down to a misunderstanding. And for Scotty Scheffler to talk about how the other officers were acting when he got to the precinct or got to the jail, like everybody realizing, oh, you know what? Oh, crap.
Yeah,
that's Scotty Scheffler. Like, we just arrested Scotty Scheffler. And that was my thing this morning. I was talking about it during sports on Auburn Opelika this morning, filling in for Ben Taylor. I said, at what point why did this not happen? Why did the arresting officer or no other police officer on site or all the ones at the jail that seemed to be in a pretty good joking mood with Scotty Scheffler, who just got arrested after trying to get into the golf course, why was there never a time where somebody stopped this whole process before you booked him, took his fingerprint, took a mugshot of him that now spreads across the internet, put him behind bars, and charged him with 5 different things, one of them being a felony? Why was there never a moment where somebody stopped and said, are we overreacting just a little bit here? Was this a misunderstanding, or did he really try to, quote, run one of our officers over? Like, that just blows my mind that nobody stopped and wanted to act like an adult for a second and just see if we could try to resolve this without going to the absolute extreme.
Well, it just shows that there's no way emotion doesn't play a factor in things like this. Like Uncle T-Bone said, for all you know, this was an officer that had a really bad day or a really bad morning and was finding a scapegoat or finding something to take it out on. Because again, this is the same routine that Scotty had gone through since Monday when he got there to play his practice rounds. Again, a player marked vehicle. He's told to go through this entrance and he's told to follow these directions. And at 5:20 in the morning, in the rain and the pitch black, you're showing up for your morning tea time. Again, probably half awake, still trying to wake up, and all of a sudden
rolling up on a scene where somebody's life has been taken.
Right. And then, you know, you're sitting there and there's a guy in a yellow vest that's sitting there, what you think is just kind of waving you through, or whether or not he's trying to stop you. But again, why would you take that single order against what you've done the entire week and the orders that you've been given? You want to say that a misunderstanding is all that it is. And again, we like the confidence of Scotty Scheffler just saying, yeah, I think everything's going to work itself out. Because, yeah, I mean, those Louisville, Kentucky lawyers, I'm sure, are foaming at the mouth.
No doubt.
To try and get
it.
This case.
And this is not somebody, they were saying, Scott Van Pelt was saying this earlier today, out of all the people in sports, any athlete across sports, and you were to say, hey, somebody was just arrested outside of their sports venue at 5:30 this morning.
Guess who it is.
Yeah, I'll give you a million guesses on who it is. Do you know what name would never come out of anybody's mouth? Scottie Scheffler. Yeah. Because he has claimed the most boring man in golf. People dislike him because he's boring.
He is the Nikola Jokic on the PGA Tour.
That's a great way to put it.
He is somebody that clocks in and clocks out. And yes, he has late days and early days on the range, but he's talked about it multiple times on the interviews when he's won, you know, the green jackets or whatever. Like, how does it feel? It's like, yeah, it's nice. You know, I might have had a couple other text messages on my phone this morning, but I'm going to go home and I'm going to live my life. And it's funny how that frustrates people, the way he has the ability to, again, what we were talking about, turn it off and turn it on. Mm-hmm. But just somebody that you would not ever put in the name or in the conversation of a felony.
There are photos and videos already of him walking through after his round and high-fiving fans. I don't know how they did it this quickly. There are people on the grounds that are high-fiving Scottie Scheffler during his round wearing T-shirts.
Oh, I saw that.
With the picture of his mugshot.
I did see that. And that was early this morning.
How in the world did they do it that quickly? But yet, he played on through and did just fine and did his job. Scottie Scheffler, third in the rankings right now. We got to get to a break. We've blown way past it. Uncle T-Bone, great to hear from you, my friend. We'll come back and wrap up the Friday edition of On the Line after this.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a great show on this free-for-all Friday. And no Uncle T-Bone with us today, but we've had Christian Griffin. And, man, this has been a lot of fun. Appreciate you coming by and joining us, talking all things sports with what is the craziest news story I've seen in a long time. We've talked all things Scottie Scheffler in the PGA Championship, a lot of Auburn athletics. We've gotten into some football conversations, recruiting conversations as well. And before we get out of here, give us an update on what's going on Auburn softball down in the NCAA regionals. Seems like it's getting into a little bit of a barn burner down there in Tallahassee.
We might not want the update, to be completely honest. We can go back and hear it a little bit earlier in the show. Go back and listen to the podcast when it was 6-2. A 2-spot for UCF in the fifth to make it a 6-4 game, and a 6-spot in the sixth, followed by just now, as we were coming back, a 3-run home run to make it 10-6 Knights in the top half of the sixth inning.
How long did Maddie Pinta go?
She went,
I assume she gave up the first two runs.
She gave up the first two in the top half of the fourth, and I believe she was responsible for the runners that were on base that scored in the fifth, because Shelby Lowe has come in and gone 1 1/3. So she went in the top of the fifth inning with one out.
Man, that's unfortunate. Auburn pitches their ace, and now you're down by four for an Auburn softball team that, no disrespect, offense has not been their friend this season. So hopefully they could pull that out as Auburn is down in the NCAA regionals. As of right now, Auburn baseball still on for tonight, 6 o'clock first pitch over at Plainsman Park. The Auburn Sports Network will be on the air at 5:45. You can find that locally over on Wings 94.3 and WingsFM.com. Christian, thanks for your time, man. This was a blast.
This was a whole lot of fun. Hoping to do it again. Hoping get Uncle T-Bone back in here and all three of us can have a little banter together.
Absolutely. We'll do that some more this summer. Uncle T-Bone will be back on Monday. So will I. Be sure you're watching the PGA Championship. The coverage on this tournament's going to be insane. Auburn Athletics going on this weekend. We'll talk about it all on Monday. And maybe Christian and I will come back with a little hardware from a golf tournament this weekend. Don't bank on it, but hey, you never know. We'll be back on Monday, 2-4, right here on ESPN 106.7. My guest co-host today, he is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.